Hello, I'm Mike Patra, and I'm the host of the Hoopball DFS Today podcast. Come join us as we go game by game, breaking down our top plays, fades, values, pivots, and talk overall strategy for both tournaments and cash games. And the best part, we're doing this 7 days a week. So come check us out. That's Hoopball DFS Today. And you can follow me on Twitter, at Mike Apatria, for any updates, listener contests, and DFS information.
The following is a Hoop Bowl presentation.
Hoopballers! Welcome back to another episode of Today in Sports Betting. It is Wednesday, August 26th. Happy hump day to everybody. We got a great show for you today. I'm excited and you should be too because we have a fantastic guest on the show today. He is the host of A Numbers Game on VSiN, Vegas Stats and Information Network on Sirius XM Radio. He is the host of the podcast Beating the Book. He is my mishpacha from another mother, Gil Alexander. Gil, how are you this morning?
Ira, I'm doing very well. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm excited to talk a little NBA with you, a little maybe some tennis, maybe some NHL. We got a lot going on today. But first, let's give a shout-out to our sponsors over at Manscaped.com. They got the new and improved Lawnmower 3.0. And their water-resistant technology allows you to groom in the shower because, hey, where else are we going to do it, right? Let's go to manscaped.com. Go pick one up. I love mine, and so should you. Type in the promo code HOOPBALL20. That's HOOPBALL20 at manscaped.com. Get 20% off and free shipping. Once again, HOOPBALL20 at manscaped.com. Get 20% off and free shipping. So, Gil, I want to talk to you about some NBA. Let's kick off the show this way. I know, you know, for everyone who's familiar with your show on VSiN, you're a big proponent of not betting NBA pre-flop. I love to have an opinion pre-flop and then watch the game and come away with a better number in-game. I know you do too. Do you have any opinion on this early game here in the NBA bubble, Milwaukee Bucks, Orlando Magic? The Bucks are laying 14 right now. Over-under is 227, minus 110 to both sides. Any thoughts here for you on this one?
No. I mean, you characterized how I approach NBA preflop against the spread pretty accurately. I just feel like of all the sports, it is the one that is the craziest to bet prior to a game. And you said it, you will more often than not find a point in the game where your line will be better than whatever your preflop conviction line would be. So a game like this, otherwise though, a game like this today between Milwaukee and Orlando, which is a potential elimination game and probably a probable elimination game, it's a 14-point spread. I really don't – it's one of these where I'm just like, you know what, I could see Milwaukee destroying them. 14 still a lot of points, so I'm not so sure I would want to lay the 14 at the same time. I feel a little differently about the second game today that's a 14-point spread because I think the Blazers, even without Dame Lillard, probably put out a good effort. At least I'm more confident in them putting out a better effort than I do the Orlando Magic. So as far as the two large spread games, I do have a bit of conviction on the Blazers to cover. If you're giving me two touchdowns on the Blazers, that's something I might be interested in. But even with that still, I'll wait to see how the game flow goes. And if there's a moment there where I feel like I can get even more points on the Blazers, I'll grab that. But the NBA preflop, unlike baseball, unlike tennis, unlike even football, to me, so many of these games come down to the final possession, and I like to say it's just a plinko chip, the old Price is Right game. If you're betting things where the outcome often comes down to a final possession, you're probably not betting the right things.
Yeah, absolutely. And listen, when you're sports betting, you know, this is just kind of what my thoughts are from doing it for so long. You know, I'm 33 years old now, And, you know, don't tell my mom, but I started probably betting on sports when I was around 14, 15 years old. So I'm very familiar with bad. Yeah. So I'm very familiar with bad beats. And I always wonder how the point spread gets so close and comes down to such a small, you know, such a small margin of victory. You know, the amount of possessions and the numbers usually pretty accurate unless it's a complete blowout. So I'm with you here. You know, two touchdowns with the Bucks, two touchdowns with the Trailblazers. You know, the Bucks game's going to be a little bit more difficult, I think, to handicap just because they could just annihilate them and come out and just show everybody that they mean business going into round number two. But, yeah, there's actually an interesting game here, Gil, I wanted to discuss with you, and that's the Oklahoma City Thunder against the Houston Rockets. Rockets are laying 4 right now. Over-under is set at 225. You know, this series is very interesting to me. Me and Dan on the other day before game number 4, we discussed how, you know, we both bet, you know, the number, but we also, you know, I grew up playing basketball. I played varsity basketball in high school. And, you know, I think I have a good eye test for how the game's flowing and, you know, kind of can see it, right? So if I feel like I'm getting a good number, plus I feel like my team is getting good opportunities at the rim, however, they're just not falling in the first half or first quarter, second quarter, things like that, you know, maybe a good opportunity. But we were both, you know, we both said we really liked Houston for game 4, and we were going to bet it in game. Now, I did execute on my plan. I was incorrect on what happened there, and I cannot believe it because Houston was up, I believe, what, 13 or 14 points midway through the third quarter, and they somehow decide to blow the game and give it to the Thunder here. Russell Westbrook has been upgraded to a game-time decision for tonight, and the spread has gone to 4 here for the Rockets. Do you have any opinion on this game? I personally don't really see how the Rockets should even be struggling against this Thunder team, but this Thunder team is very feisty. You know, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Chris Paul, Gallinari, Dortz. I mean, they got some good pieces, but you think that, you know, the Rockets like to go out to these big leads and then just kind of give it away. What do you got to say about this one here?
First of all, I like how you took Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, no relation, by the way, and made it into the Hebrew pronunciation of Shai, which means a gift.
It's hard for me when I see a name or hear a name like that not to go back to my roots.
Right. No, I understand. I think the Houston Rockets are the better basketball team. They're a high variance three-point shooting team. And so with that, you get all kinds of results. And that game 4 was one of the weirdest things ever because it was a few games in one. Houston came out in the second half. They hit 8 consecutive threes, and then they could not hit a 3 to save their lives. And, you know, we were talking earlier today on the show about who would the Lakers rather see. And I don't think there's any question they'd rather see the Thunder. That's without a doubt, because Houston in any particular basketball game is live because of the way they play the game. And by the way, you know, like famously in the Western Conference Championship against the Warriors, the Western Conference playoffs, they missed 27 threes in a row at one point. So, I mean, they're feast or famine, live or die by the three. I mean, whatever cliche you want to use. So I do have pre-flop conviction on the Rockets, but just like we were talking about before, it doesn't make me race to bet them before the game starts. I would much rather, and you have to be willing to, when you take this approach, you have to be willing to, you know, to accept that if the Rockets start out with a bang and go up 20 to nothing, you may never get the bet you want. And so you'll just have to sit out this game. But I am willing to be patient with something like this. I would love to see, personally from a betting standpoint, I would love to see OKC go up in this game. The later the better, although not too late, obviously. The later the better, the more the margin, the better. And then get a price on the Rockets that I could have never gotten before the game started. That's the only way I would bet this game. The only way.
Yeah, and I can totally relate to how the Houston Rockets play basketball. I may not agree with it, but I can totally relate because I was a shooting guard in high school, and I guess still am, but, you know, I don't play for anybody. But I live and die by the three. I'm like, just give me the rock and I'll jack it up. You know, I'm just – I don't want to drive to the basket. I'm not trying to get hurt. I just want to shoot the ball. So I totally understand their style of basketball, and I totally couldn't agree with you more. I'd rather OKC jump out to a nice little lead in the third quarter where we're getting a good number on the Rockets coming back in the live wagering. And, you know, not only that, we did talk about that on the podcast the other day. Like, if you have a strategy going into the game and it's just not there, you don't have to force anything. You know, it just, you got more games to bet on. You know, this, you just got to let it go. Don't chase. Don't put money on a number that's worse or a number, you know, it just didn't come to fruition for you. So, you know, just don't chase. Don't waste your bankroll on silly bets, right? You have a strategy. I want to get the Rockets at pick or better, or minus one or better, whatever that number is to you. And if you get it, great. But you have to understand that if you don't get it, if it's not there, you just kind of got to pass and move on to the next one.
Yep, I agree.
Now, Gil, I'm interested to hear your opinion on the Trailblazers game tonight. The Trailblazers right now, I'm seeing 13.5 offshore right now. 222.5 is the total here. You know, got a lot of scores on this Portland team, even without Dame. Even without Dame time in the game. But I'm curious to know, after a perform, you know, and I liked the Blazers last game. So I was shocked as anything, but you know, coming back to the end game, I bet them +26.5, +27.5, +24.5. So I made some good money on the Blazers in game when they were down big, you know, so that's another opportunity. But give me your reasons. I'm still trying to make a case here. After seeing what an awful performance that they put on the other night, give me a couple reasons as to why you kind of are leaning Portland here for two touchdowns.
Well, I'll tell you what I bet already. I did bet the under in this game when it was at 225. What are you seeing right now?
222.5. So they're moving with your number.
Yeah. So not quite as fun, but if you understand sort of my thinking, you know, the pace of this series has been much slower than I thought it would be. And so I took it on the chin, betting the over in game one, for instance. But if you're giving me 14 points, and I already have conviction now on the under, you can understand that's sort of correlated. It's sort of a math thing where it's like, okay, well, if I think the fewer points I feel are going to be scored, the more value there becomes with catching 14 points on a side. If that makes sense.
Oh, absolutely.
So that's really where that comes from. And I do think, you know, they don't have Damian Lillard again. I do think, though, that the Blazers have enough guns there to keep it within 14. But my biggest conviction on this game is actually the under. And again, same thing applies for the total. And again, I know I'm breaking sort of my rule here of betting something before the game starts. But the same sort of conviction applies if you don't want to bet the total before the game starts, pre-flop. Wait for a pace that jives with your pre-flop conviction. So in my case, let's say you agree with what I'm saying. You're like, oh, man, I wish I had gotten the 225 you got. Well, okay, 222.5 is where it is right now. Well, if they start out like gangbusters, you can still get that 225 very shortly after the game starts. So I think – you know, that's where my 14 comes in. I just like the correlation of that. It's sort of like a football game. We talk about this during football season a lot.
Exactly what I was just about to ask you. Yep.
Yeah, if you have a total of, let's say, I'll just use an extreme example. If you have a total of like 38 and a team is favored by two touchdowns, well, I mean, the underdog and the under are very correlated right there in the same sort of way.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that strategy in the NFL season. Totally on board with that one. Gil, let's talk a little tennis here.
Let's do it.
I know you're a big tennis guy. We got the ATP Cincinnati going on. You know, I'm a longtime listener of the podcast of the VSiN show Numbers Game. We had a little bit of a rough week last week with some of the stuff, you know, that I was listening to.
Bill Teichman killed us.
Killed us.
Yeah.
So let's any thoughts here today with some matches that you like? Any leans or strong opinions on some of the upcoming matches today, both either in women's or men's side?
Yeah, I mean, I should say since Jill Teichman last week, we've been pretty darn good this week in tennis. Back to the earth has returned to its axis, Ira.
Absolutely.
So yesterday we went on a dog with Riley Opelka, had the over in games played in the first set between Tsitsipas and Isner. Today I'm on Milos Raonic in his match. Milos Raonic is playing Krajinovic. Don't hold me to that pronunciation. Filip Krajinovic.
I believe he's minus 170.
Yeah, I got it at a little bit better than that last night, but that's still playable at minus 170. What I was telling people on the show on a numbers game at Beeson this morning was that if you don't like laying the minus 170, you're like, oh, well, Gil, I'd like to parlay that with something else. Anjabur on the ladies' side would be my my pick to match Milos Raonic with. I think Anjabur, who's...
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Taking on, Azarenka, I believe.
She's taking on, yeah, Azarenka, exactly.
Yeah, I think that Jabeur is the play. You have to forgive me. I've just done 2 hours of radio, so I'm trying to remember who's playing who. But that's what I've bet. I've bet Raonic and Jabeur. Those are my only tennis plays for today. I was really betting a lot of tennis the last couple days, but now that those fields have dwindled in Cincinnati, those are my only two plays for the day. But I will say this to your audience. You know, I know tennis is not a super-duper popular sport like football and basketball and such in this country. But if I could sort of impart anything to new bettors, and your buddy Dan Vespers would agree with this, find a sport like tennis, like golf, like UFC, something that is a smaller market. You will have much more success betting those than you will in something as – market efficient as NFL lines, for instance.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with you. You know, I like to think that hockey is a little less efficient than NBA and NFL. So I kind of like to dig deep into hockey. But I totally agree with you. I've gotten into tennis over the last couple years. I really love tennis now. The way I got into tennis was I was actually in Vegas. I was actually in Vegas, and I had Naomi Osaka to beat Serena Williams. And I think it was like 3-1 or something. And that's how I kind of got into tennis betting. It was so exhilarating to me that I took this 3-1 dog, and tennis, watching a tennis game and sweating a tennis game is so much fun. Like, every point really, really counts. I do have a question for you in regards to live betting tennis. Are there any opportunities if you like a side, a big favorite, and they lose the first set? Is there really any opportunity there in women's tennis to come back and bet that side that you like that as a heavy favorite?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's the same theory as everything we talked about in basketball and in football. You know, again, I still think basketball is the best application of that strategy of like, all right, well, you know, because in the other sports, you're still going to bet them before the event actually starts. Basketball, I would just suggest just wait for in-game, period. But tennis, sure. Like if I have – now, you know, a lot of this has the caveat. There's nothing here that's sacred. There's nothing here that's like a blanket statement where you're like, yes, in the event that this player goes up this and wins the first set, you should absolutely bet the other side. All of this is about the actual players involved, the matchups involved, and really the more you can watch the match – the better off you'll be. So, for instance, yesterday, let's take an example of Serena Williams. Serena Williams, if you thought Serena Williams and if you bet Serena Williams before that match started against Maria Sakkari of Greece, and then you saw that match go deep and then end up in a third set, there was no way if you were watching that. By the way, forgive me the camera. I hope you can just hear me okay. There was no way if you were watching that match, that would have led you to be confident in Serena. And sure enough, she really melted down in a bad way. So, you know, it's not always. Like, you have to really be honest with yourself and say, well, you know, I was probably wrong. And so, you know, I don't want to be wrong twice. But yes, are there opportunities? Absolutely. You just have to pick your spots.
Perfect, perfect. And before we let you go, just want to break down the two NHL games tonight. I'm a big NHL guy. I love the sport. I love watching it. I can't get enough of it. We got a really good game to kick us off today. Is the New York Islanders against the Philadelphia Flyers. The Islanders are playing really good hockey right now. Beat the Flyers the other day 4-0. Carter Hart had to be pulled. I really like the Philadelphia Flyers to come back today. I think that they kind of got they played the Islanders game the other day, and the Islanders really took it to them. The Islanders were, you know, they're playing the game against the boards. They were physical. They were efficient with their goal scoring. I think that today you got to look at the Flyers. I think the Flyers are probably like one of the most underrated teams in this bubble. A lot of people are not super high on them, and I beg to differ. I think they're a really, really good hockey team. Their goaltending is fantastic. And I really like the side of the Flyers tonight, today. Do you have any opinion on any hockey today, Gil?
You know, you probably, Ira, know hockey better than I do when it comes to deep dive analysis of it. I can only tell you what my hockey analytics guy has passed on. And I can tell you what he's been really super successful in the playoffs, but his general opinions about these teams that are playing today, one, he was not as high as others were on the Flyers entering the bubble. So the Flyers were the hottest team in all of hockey, really from January 8th on until the sport was stopped due to the pandemic. He was not as high on the Flyers, though, as people who really bought into that run for the Flyers, nor was he as high on the Flyers after they ended up with a number one seed after the seeding games, after the round robin. But he is of the thinking here today that if the price on the Flyers got down to about minus 110, he would bet the Flyers. I think I'm remembering that correctly from the show this morning.
Yeah, and that's...
You're right, the Islander...
Sorry, go ahead, Gil.
No, you go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, and I was going to say, and that's what it comes down to today for me, is it going to be a slugfest? Probably. But I think that the Flyers at this price, it's so hard to not bet the Flyers today at minus 110, which is where the current line is. That's kind of where I was at. I think the Islanders are fantastic. I made a lot of money with them in round one. But if you're giving me the Flyers at minus 110, I think I just got to bet them. Gil, you still with me?
Yeah, you two are going on that. You two are in agreement there. You know, as far as the other game's concerned, the game that it was lined, I didn't see a line for the Boston-Tampa Bay game. He obviously knotted up at one game apiece after Tampa Bay won in overtime yesterday. So you'll be able to tell me what the line is there. But as far as the
Bruins minus 115, Lightning -105.
Yeah, I think he's just going to stick with his series bet. I have the pre-flop series bet on the Bruins as well. I would not be inclined to bet
today's game, especially on a back-to-back, with my series price in pocket. So I would stay away there.
I agree
with you. As far as the third game is, I mean, really, this is the most interesting because, you know, when he, by the way, he is Andy McNeil, who's been on my show lots of times here during the bubble.
Yep.
When you talk about the three best teams in hockey, he's got them as the Bruins, the Lightning, and the Avalanche. Those are the three best teams in hockey for his ratings. Obviously, the Bruins are playing the Lightning. Well, the Avalanche are down in a 2-0 hole to a team in the Stars that he had and we had in the first round of the playoffs, and obviously the Stars advance. The Stars come out and they just, like, you know, already they've got the Avalanche in a hole. So, you know, the question is, how do you bet, if you do bet at all, this series moving forward? And I think there's a couple ways to bet this. One, the adjusted series price on the Avalanche right now is at about, was it plus? I'm doing this all off memory. I think it was plus 135, plus 150. I can't remember exactly. Somewhere in that pocket. You could consider a bet on the Avalanche there if you still believe in those full season numbers, which I still think is the best thing to do. I would trust his numbers. On the other hand, do you bet the Avalanche in this one game as well as these proverbial must-win situation, back against the wall, pick your cliche? Does that really mean anything? I would be more inclined to bet the Avalanche on the series price than anything at this point. I just think the Stars have been really one of the surprises of this playoffs for sure. I think the Islanders would qualify as that as well to this point. But I think that's how I would bet it moving forward, the Avalanche adjusted price, rather than bet anything for this game specifically. Though I will tell you, the number that he said he would bet on the Avalanche in this game would be minus 135, minus 140 maybe, but minus 135 ideally.
Yeah, right now today it is Avalanche minus 135. It's just hard for me to look at this Avalanche team. You know, I really did like them going into this bubble. But, you know, with Grubauer out, I mean, they do have a very capable backup in Franco. But Grubauer being out is a big deal for them, I think. You know, he's kind of the focal point of that defense. He's a fantastic young goalie. You know, he's going to be out again. He's got that injury. He hasn't been able to really practice, from what I've heard. So he's going to probably be out for the rest of the series. But, you know, this Dallas Stars team, you know, I had them both in game one and game two. So I think that, you know, one of your boys over at VSiN, you know, I believe if my memory serves me correctly, you know, Mike Palm was, you know, back in the beginning of the season and even through kind of the first few weeks, even when Dallas was getting off to a slow start, he was saying that this is a really this is a team to really be reckoned with. I mean, they're a fantastic team. And, you know, right now Ben Bishop is not playing as well. He's unfit to play, so they say. We don't know exactly what's going on, but he's unfit to play. But Khudobin's really been doing a great job in net in backup for him. So it's going to be a tough game to handicap. Do I think that I would bet the Stars today? No, I'm not racing to bet them. The only thing that I'm really looking at today in hockey is the Flyers at minus 110. Gil, any? I know you told me you had maybe one baseball pick. You want to give it out to the listeners before we jump off here?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if people can stomach a bet like this, but I will tell you, I bet the San Francisco Giants yesterday against the Dodgers. That ended up working out in the 11th inning. Giants win 10-8. They were plus 180 dogs. Today, the Giants are plus 220 dogs against Clayton Kershaw and the Dodgers. I'm on the Giants again, and there's a lot of, you know, I don't want to read too much into a small sample size of a baseball season with advanced stats, but Clayton Kershaw, period, is not the pitcher that he once was. And the one stat I can rely on, even with a small sample size, is his velocity. And his velocity is down to about, and his fastball is about 92 miles an hour. He needs a bigger difference in speed differences, I should say, between pitches. He needs a bigger gap between his velo on both of those, on fastballs and off-speed pitches. I think the Giants have a sneaky good lineup at the top. They showed that last night when Longoria and Belt are on. You throw in Yastrzemski and Solano, and that's a really good lineup at the top. I just don't think in any world. By the way, Kevin Gausman, who's pitching for the Giants, the opposite of what I said about Kershaw is true. The advanced stats, even in a small sample size, really look good. He's a better pitcher than he has shown early on in this season. Kershaw is a worse pitcher than he has shown, and Kershaw really hasn't faced anybody of late in the Angels and the Mariners. Did face the Giants before, and the Giants actually got to him. So give me plus 220 on the Giants. That's just a bet you have to be willing to make. Look, plus 220, even with the edge you have, you can't expect to win that game. But the way that you bet baseball and the way that you should be betting everything is if you have positive expected value. And I think we have a lot of that with the Giants.
Gil, that's a really interesting point you bring up about the Giants, because I made some sick live bets last night. When the Giants were down 6-4, I bet the Giants at plus 2.5 runs minus 125. And I also took them to win live when they were down 6-4 at 3-1, just over 3-1. So
worked out for us.
Yeah. I mean, I wanted to bet it pre-flop, and for some reason I must've had a brain fart. So many things going on here down, you know, I'm down here in Mexico. All the listeners know. So it was dinner or whatever. I don't even know, watching other games, but yeah, I took them live when they were down 6-4. I really agree with you 100%. This lineup is super, super sneaky good for the Giants. And, you know, like you said, Kershaw struggled against the Giants last time out. I really like this pick that you're giving out today. I'm on board with it. Let's go back to the well. Giants plus 220.
Giants are the play.
All right, Gil, everyone can find you on Twitter, right? And that is at Beating the Book. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. That is correct. That is also the name of the podcast.
Absolutely, guys. Well, Gil, thank you so much for joining us. Make sure you go give Gil a follow at Beating the Book on Twitter. I'm at Iris Silver Magic. Follow along for plays of the day, live bets, etc. We are a HoopBall presentation. That's hoop-ball.com. We're also at HoopBall Gaming. Thank you so much for joining us, Gil, and we'll have to do it again sometime soon.
Thank you, Ira. Appreciate it, man.
All right, bye-bye.
This has been a HoopBall presentation.